Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl. Good day, Connect Ed Techers! Second episode of season three, and we've got a goodie. We definitely got a goodie. Don't we have a goodie, Elizabeth?
I would have to agree that we do have a goodie, Daryl. I love the word goodie. It's good to see you, Daryl.
Always great to see you too, Elizabeth. I love your sweater, by the way.
Thank you. I wear it every time I talk
personality.
About it. It's my personality.
It's your personality, just full of color and vibrancy and joy.
Oh, well, I could say the same thing about you and your shirt, which is also full of color, vibrancy, and extra dose of personality.
It's vibrancy in French.
Ooh.
But a vibrancy. No, I made that up. I don't know. Well, tell us, what are we going to be talking about today?
I'm really excited about today because we are talking about one of my most favorite things to do when I go to ed tech conferences or any conference for that matter. And that is my favorite note-taking strategy using Google Slides, Polaroid notes.
Ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding. Polaroid notes. And I remember the time you showed me the infancy or the birth of the Polaroid notes. I remember when you first started Polaroid notes. It's back in, thanks for correcting me earlier. 2019 TCEA. 2019 just seems like, I don't know, it wasn't too long. Well, I guess it was.
Well, 2020 just taking the air out of us. So.
It sure has. Oh my goodness.
It seemed like a whole decade in 1 year. So.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, 2019 TCEA. Everybody was doing notes the old-fashioned way with a Google Doc. And then you showed me one of your wonderful creations and it was like, wow.
Well, go ahead.
Your notes were the only ones that I looked at. So because they were so, you know, engaging.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, that's the whole purpose too of them. So I guess I can just tell everybody what they are. So they kind of have an idea. We're going to set this up, but we're not talking our entire podcast about me talking about Polaroid notes. So I'm just going to give a brief overview of what they are, why I even started doing them to begin with, where you can learn more about them, and also some examples. I'll show some examples of ones I've made. And then the very best part of today's podcast is that when we come back after our slight tiny little commercial break, we're going to be talking to two teachers who have used Polaroid notes themselves, and they've also used it with their students in their classroom. And that's going to be the real highlight of today's episode. So
wonderful.
Excited. It's
wonderful.
Okay, so just a brief overview of what they are. Okay, so Polaroid notes came about because I had a little bit of a problem. When I would go to conferences, and sometimes these conferences like TCA are multiple days, we're there for 3 days, maybe 4 days, attending sessions like 5-6 sessions, maybe a day. Mm-hmm. And then I would always, and our team that we worked with, we'd always kind of create a folder and we would have these Google Docs and we would create pages and pages of notes from all these sessions that we attended. And we would try to go back and calibrate and look at those notes and say, hey, what did we learn that would be useful for the teachers in our district so we could share back? But that got really, really cumbersome super fast because all of our notes look like what you see on the screen there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty organized, right? And if you look at it, you're like,
you got the bullets, you got the numbers, but just.
But imagine going through 6 pages of those for each session for 4 days.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I can't do the math and nobody has time to read that. So what I needed to do was find an easier way to share notes with the teachers in our district that would be instantaneous almost, and also would grab their attention and would be something that they could use themselves with their campuses. So I thought sketchnoting might be the thing to do because sketchnoting is a really popular way of taking notes out there. It's beautiful, right? Daryl, can you draw? Have you sketchnoted before?
Oh, I've tried. I bought all these pens and I bought a Moleskine notebook. I tried. I just can't.
Oh my gosh. I tried too.
It's frustrating.
It's real frustrating. When I draw, I can look at something and draw it pretty decently. But if I have to draw out of, off the top of my head, I can't do it. It's just a hot mess. The other thing that bogged me down was sketchnoting. I couldn't do it fast enough during the session.
Right.
And I really wanted to produce something I could share quickly. So I started thinking, we had used Google Slides. I thought, I've got to come up with a better way to take these notes for TCEA 2019. So I remembered we had used Google Slides for this group of teachers that we work with in our school district called TILT. And we would take a slide deck and format it 8.5 by 11 and create these posters for these, the little parts of our TILT meeting called Digital Playground, where teachers could explore different tools and learn more about them. So I thought, wow, this could really work for my note-taking, right? So that's what I did. So at TCEA 2019, I just opened up one Google Slides deck, formatted it 8.5 by 11, and each slide of that slides deck became a notes page for each session that I attended for the entire conference. And this is my first stab at it, Bookstagrams.
Bookstagrams.
Yeah. You like the GIF, the animation?
I do. A GIF. I love how you pronounced it. Yes.
So I pronounce it correctly, just like you do.
GIF.
Yeah. So just like the peanut butter. So yeah, I didn't make it into a form of animation. I created the animation after the fact to kind of show the evolution of the notes so people can kind of see where it started and the different changes that it went through. That was my first stab. And then I would go to session after session. And I started to, as I would take them in other sessions, I would think of different things I could add or things I could do better. So do you notice anything, Daryl, on these that might look a little different?
Yeah, the titles, the word art leads me back. Purpose is always important. So that's where my eyes directed. The purpose of the tool. You have the titles on the top. Almost looks like a sandwich.
Kind of. Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah, the different types of word art, the font use. So there's a little bit of design, you know, involved with creating these Polaroid notes. It catches my attention, catches the eye.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy to follow. And the beauty of it being online and Google Slides is that it can be shared in an instant. It can be downloaded. It can be shared with a link. It can be shared in a published version. Just it's 8.5 by 11. So it prints nicely, right? If you wanted to print it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are some more examples, and all these examples can be found, and I got better, don't you think?
Yeah. You have a background image in the back and very cool.
Yeah. And links. One of the things I thought, man, there need to be links to other resources. Mm-hmm. So really to do this, the way that I did it, because that's what people ask me the most is, how do you do this? Do you do this on the spot while you're in a session? Or are you
That's a good question. Yeah.
And that is how I do it. And it may not be in its complete finished form at the end of that session, but it's going to be pretty close. The reason why I can get it that close is because I can focus on the three big topics. And you alluded to one of them when you said purpose. So one of the big questions I get from people about Polaroid notes, and I've had the opportunity to present on it at a few different conferences now, and people seem to really like it and are gravitating to it, and they're even using it with their students, which is awesome because it requires some higher level thinking, but it's really putting, synthesizing the important information that you're hearing or that you're reading about and putting it into a one page, more concise format. Right. And what I love about this format is it helps you improve your focus. You can be purposeful about what you put on the page. It's engaging to your audience. It helps you remember your content better. And we mentioned the sharing and collaborating feature before, and also the ability to print and share.
Yeah, so a lot of things you can do, like practicing active listening skills. And there is definitely a learning curve, like sketchnoting, but not as big as sketchnoting. Because you can, most of these images that are digital, you just pop them in the Google Slide. Love it.
Awesome. And then the easiest way to do it, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but this slide kind of tells it all. Just using that one slide deck and formatting 8.5 by 11. And as you're taking these notes, really focusing on the what, the why, and the how. The big three. And don't get bogged down in the details, because the details can be supported with images, videos that can be inserted, embedded onto the slide directly, or links that can be linked out. And one thing that I love to always stress, because I'm a former English teacher, mm-hmm. that piece of me is like, you need to cite your sources. So, you know, being diligent about that, wherever you get these things, having either a separate citation slide or making sure you've given a link to cite the source on it. Absolutely. And the name of it too is one question I always get is how did you come up with Polaroid Notes? Because they can be shared in an instant, just like Polaroids. Yeah,
bringing back the Polaroid. Look at that.
Back the Polaroid. Look at my customized.
Look at that. Branded and everything.
Branded, it's a sticker. You can't go out on Amazon and purchase this camera
yet.
With that yet. On the back of it yet.
But soon.
But soon. Will. Maybe.
Awesome. So in just a second, we get to walk through the process with our lovely guests. And you said they've used this in the classroom. So
they have. They've used their students. They've had students use it. They've used it at conferences themselves, so they can really speak to that piece of it and also the benefits of it. And for any of our listeners and viewers, I mean, maybe you're not able to see, obviously, if you're listening the screen. If you just go to PolaroidNotes.com, mm-hmm. you can see all the examples. You can learn what it is, learn how to do it. I got to write a blog from Matt Miller.
Yeah, that's huge.
About Polaroid Notes. Yeah. So you might check out Matt Miller's blog about Polaroid Notes. Well, my blog on Matt Miller's website. Right. And that was a cool experience too. It's just good. It's really beneficial.
Absolutely. Definitely trending right now. And if you don't have a lesson planned for your students yet, we got one for you. And this is actually this is just like a form of note taking that they can use throughout the whole entire year. A lot of essential note taking skills and design skills, a lot of things involved, but beneficial for your students and for you as a teacher. I'm excited. Yeah.
Me too. I'm glad we're doing this episode on Polaroid Notes. Thanks, Joel, for letting me share my passion for it.
You know, you had a beg.
please.
Of course. All right. We'll see you in just a second.
You can find all things related to the Connect Ed Tech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms. And subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connect Ed Tech promos, and Flippin' 5 Tech Tips.
Hey guys, we're back. Daryl's really excited. He's really excited about this one. Let me tell you. Look at the plaid shirt. I can't get over it, Daryl. You did a good job with the plaid. Tried to match.
You said colorful.
I did go with the Polaroid Notes scene. I mean, like mine. It's close.
Close.
I'm impressed.
It took me a while to find this.
But we're super excited about this part of the show because we have with us two of our really, really great teacher friends, mm-hmm. and we're going to let them tell us who they are. We should let them, right, Daryl?
They should just do the whole entire show. I'm going to sit back and relax.
I wish you would.
Daryl, relax.
Ba-doom-pa. Okay, so let's start with Melanie. Melanie, why don't you tell our viewers and listeners exactly who you are, what you do?
So my name is Melanie Sova. I work in Humble ISD in Texas. I'm at the elementary level. I spent 6 years doing fifth grade math and science, and this year is my first year in the library as the media specialist. And so my interest and love has always kind of been in the STEM area, the makerspace, and all things like blended learning.
Love it. Melanie, how did you meet us? Or Daryl, me?
I met Daryl first, actually at an escape room PD.
That's right.
Which was phenomenal, by the way. Like, I still go back to my notes for that all the time, and made me feel like an escape room guru, like leaving, because that's how awesome Daryl is.
That was fun times. That was like, 3-4 years ago, maybe?
Oh, I don't even know. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
And then, Elizabeth, we've kind of seen each other through different, like, district tech things, like some of the ed tech PDs, the unconferences, that sort of stuff, because I'm a little bit of a PD junkie. I go to all I can.
That's great opportunity to network, because that's how we met Sherry.
That's right. That is. Wait, does that mean it's my turn?
Tag, right. You're it.
I met Daryl and Elizabeth at Texas Goo, and I was it 2017 or 2018? I don't remember. I remember
San Antonio, right? San Antonio, yes. 2018.
Yes, it was 2018. Mm-hmm. And I teach in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, really interesting kind of back and forth between Texas and South Carolina in my life. My home is South Carolina. And I teach at West Ashley High School, really great school with a really amazing administration who really wants to encourage teachers to be as innovative as possible in order to help promote student engagement, which is amazing. I have taught English and social studies over my 20-year career and theater. So I pull all kinds of crazy things out of my toolkit in order to help my students to just be as innovative as possible. And that's just kind of my nutshell in what I do and how I do it.
I think we saw you at that, you mentioned the Texas Goo, the Google Summit in San Antonio a couple of years ago, and you were presenting there, and then we were also presenting there. Daryl was acting like a crazy man. He had just bought this. Don't get me started right now.
I should make a list of everything that I purchased since we started this podcast.
It's all because of the podcast.
Presenter, the amazing remote. I remember that. It was amazing, and it's been in my wish list. Yes.
We were walking around all over Texas Goo, and Daryl's got that gimbal, and we're just like looking like we know what we're doing, and we're supposed to be there, right? We're just like, we're live on the scene reporting from Texas Goo. It's just
awesome. Yeah, it's like, look how fancy. Look, everything is so steady. It's so steady. Wow. I haven't used it since then.
That's because he keeps buying more and more and more tech things.
It's my hobby now. Thank you for unlocking that passion for me, Elizabeth.
Created that monster.
As a matter of fact, I just purchased something before this thing for sounds.
Well, it benefits us, so yeah. I'm happy. And if Sabrina's happy, absolutely. I'm happy.
Yeah, she doesn't know. She doesn't have to know. Actually, she knows.
She knows.
She knows. She knows.
So Polaroid Notes is why we're here, guys. And before we get into talking about how you have used it, because both of you have been in PD sessions where we've talked about Polaroid Notes and you've actually applied it in your own personal or professional lives and maybe possibly with your students. But we have a little challenge for you, because in our intro, Daryl and I talk about what Polaroid Notes is and kind of how you make it and how it's sort of similar to sketchnoting, but different because it has a bigger purpose, I think, sometimes than sketchnoting. Mm-hmm. So we would like to pose a little challenge to you.
Dun, dun, dun.
We like challenges, right, Daryl?
We do. We love giving out challenges and being challenged.
Well, we like giving them out for sure. So we've shared a link with you to a Jamboard, one of our other favorite
Jamboard.
Google tools. Jamboard, yeah. We'd be jamming with the Jamboard. So if you guys could open that up, and we're going to share our screen. I've got it pulled up, so I'll share my screen. And we're posing a challenge right now because both of you told us, prior to today's interview, that you are big, you have spirit animals, right? Can you tell I can't really do two things at once? I'm trying to talk and share my screen at the same time. Hopefully, are you seeing the Jamboard at least? Was I successful?
We're jamming to your Jamboard.
Good grief. I'm peanut like, butter, what's going on? I act like I haven't done it
Jamboard.
Before. Okay, so on the Jamboard, stay on the first slide. Okay, that's the main rule right now. So Melanie, you get to work on the left side of this slide. Sherry, you're going to work on the right. And you're going to use those tools over there to the left. Have y'all used Jamboard before?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we're gonna show the world how easy it is to use Jamboard, and Sherry's going to demonstrate.
Beautiful. All right. So what you're going to do is you're both going to start drawing your spirit animals. You're not going to say what they are. You're just going to start drawing them at the same time. Sherry to the right of the Polaroid Notes logo, Melanie to the left. And how long should we give them, Daryl?
7 minutes and 22 seconds.
We don't have that much time. How long should we give them?
3 minutes and 47 seconds.
We're going to give them 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Okay. That's the average, right?
That's right. I don't think so.
That's the range, the median, the mode.
I think that's what the Flipgrid videos used to give me. 1 minute 30. You get 90 seconds to do your best drawing of your spirit animal.
Okay.
Melanie, the tools you're going to use are just over there to the left of the screen. You've got like the little pin at the top where you can change the color. They don't give you a lot of color options, so don't think you're going to get too fancy with this. And then there's an eraser right underneath it. If you want to just go back and point to something, there's a pointer. And then there are some other things there, but you're probably only going to need the pen and the eraser, I would think. But, you know, use what you need to use to be able to get this challenge done. Are you guys ready? Do you accept the challenge?
Yes.
Yes.
So excited.
Whoa.
Sherry's taking the lead. She's out in front. Oh, nope. Sherry's
on. Just erased itself.
I know. I didn't like it.
And they're using their mouse, by the way. You know how difficult that is?
It's not very a touch screen.
I really wish that I was.
Why did my? Okay, my.
Whoa.
My thing erased itself, and then it came back, and I have to start over.
You have 1 minute left.
Okay, well, this is gonna be the best picture ever.
I think Sherry's spirit animal is a piece of toast, piece of burnt toast.
You'll be okay. You'll get it.
Oh.
Or some type of like you know those what are they called? that people buy those wooden things that have the different planks on them and people pallets. It looks like a pallet that people will buy and they decorate them.
Okay.
Our Melanie. Melanie. Look at Melanie's. Sherry, can you guess Melanie's?
It's an owl.
Yeah. Okay. I see a paw. Is it a dog? Sherry, you know how I love dogs.
Do you not see the stripes, Elizabeth?
Oh, sorry.
No talking.
Tiger, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Elizabeth, remember that game we played with
he did so bad.
On one of our episodes, our John Spike episode, we played the game Concept.
Yes.
Kind of the same thing that Sherry's doing here, just like giving us clues of the animal.
I can't draw a tiger with my mouse.
Okay, that's 1 minute 30 seconds. Pens down. mice down. Mouses down?
I have to say mouses, mice. It sounds silly to say mice, but it's true. I love that you guys both took different approaches to this. Yeah. Melanie, you actually went for drawing the owl. I mean, she was like, I'm just literally going to draw this owl here.
That owl is about to eat that tiger.
Amazing owl. And
if I had tried to draw a tiger with my mouse pad instead of a touch screen or an iPad, you know, like with a stylus, forget it.
It's not bad.
No, I think you both did a great job. I mean, you can obviously tell. And I thank you for the extra hint, Sherry, when you said, look at the tiger stripes, Elizabeth. That was helpful because
I said stripes. I didn't say tiger stripes. I did a good job.
You did good not saying the word. Very good.
I thought zebra when you said stripes, but then I saw the paw.
Well, in yellow background.
I'm
colorblind.
It should be an orange background, but we're limited on color. So,
well, Sherry, I've got to ask, though. This was your first time using Jamboard. How was it?
Oh, it was super easy.
Good.
Yeah, super easy over there with that little toolbar, right? And here's my question. I mean, we obviously had a purpose for throwing this little activity and this challenge at you, because when you think about Polaroid notes, one of the things that was a struggle for me when I used to do note taking, if I tried sketchnoting, was that I couldn't draw and I couldn't draw fast enough. And we gave you guys 1.5 minutes to draw something here. And it's like, if you take 1.5 minutes just to draw one thing on a paper and you don't really have that expertise, it's tough, right? It's a challenge for sure.
Absolutely.
Do you guys want to see mine and Daryl's? Because we actually have spirit animals
and
too.
How long did we have? We had 37 seconds.
We had a lot longer than you did. Okay. So I'm going to click to the next slide and I want you guys to guess. See if you can guess whose is whose.
Oh.
Ooh, whose is whose?
Mm-hmm. Based on our spirit.
I feel like Daryl should be the otter.
I feel that way too.
Why?
Because it's so playful.
Oh.
I love that. You guys got it right. Ding, ding, ding. We actually have our names up here in code.
Ooh, fancy.
It's like the
escape room.
That invisible ink.
Yeah.
A white font. Awesome. Okay, now you guys tell us. I love that what you use for, like, the way that you described us. And I think that's how we would describe ourselves. I like the cardinal because they're free, too. They can fly. They kind of go everywhere they anywhere they want to go. I love the idea of the freedom and the contentment that seems to be there. They're also very nurturing
birds. That's deep. You're going deep.
Well, and, you know, that's what I do.
And you did go to Lamar as well, didn't you?
I did go to Lamar. That's the mascot for Lamar University. And Melanie and Sherry, tell us why you chose your spirit animals. I'm curious.
So my last name actually means owl in Polish.
Ah.
And so I collect owls. My whole family collects owls. And I just like, you know, the wise old owl, like, persona idea. I hope to be the wise old owl one day.
Well, you're definitely not old.
You're full of wisdom.
No. Wise, but not old. That was awesome. That's really cool learning that your last name means owl, too. That's really neat.
And I found out how to pronounce it today, Sova.
Yes.
I didn't know that either. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, Sherry, what about you, Tiger Queen?
Ooh, be careful with that one. See, that's funny because I have... I went to Clemson, and that is the mascot for Clemson, but it's also an animal that is often misunderstood and mistaken, because a tiger isn't always ferocious, and a tiger isn't always fierce, and isn't always frightening, but has the capability of that level of command and that level of fear, like I said, those fierce qualities are definitely part of a tiger, but they also are quiet. And mother tigers are extremely nurturing of their cubs and are very protective of those that are important to it. And so that those aspects of the Clemson tiger are aspects I feel of my personality, but also you know, just that concept of the beauty of a tiger that that I love so much. So that was why I chose the tiger for my spirit animal.
You thought I was so deep.
You thought I was deep, girl.
Oh man. It's like, I chose an otter because it's cute.
Yeah.
And fun.
And playful.
And playful.
Like an otter who, you know, loves to spend every dime he
That's what otters do.
On technology.
They, you know, that's what Amazon. They have an Amazon Prime account.
Thank you guys for playing along with us. That was really fun. So we talked about the drawing, and we've made a forced connection here with the Jane board and the spirit animals with the drawing, but it's a legit thing, right? So tell us about your experiences using Polaroid notes already. Just quickly, you know, how have you used it? Have you had your students try to use it yet? Or what are the skills that you feel like are valuable that you're using, maybe kids could learn by doing it themselves? And also, what are some of the benefits of using Polaroid notes? So whichever one of you guys wants to dive into what I just said, I gave you three questions into one. You're welcome. You're welcome. I hope you retained all of that. I have it all written right here.
Okay, good.
Just in case.
So we can go back to it.
No, one of the things, like you said, that forced choice, I love that with Polaroid notes because they're so limited to space and there are only certain things that they can get on one page. I think that forced choice really engages that higher order thinking and makes them think really critically about whatever the topic is that they're using Polaroid notes for. I've used it for note-taking when I've been in professional development, and I've assigned for them in my English class to use it as one of the options for their final project for the novel The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. So representing characters and specific quotes from the novel and other aspects, rhetorical devices that Toni Morrison used in the novel. And so they're going to be able to do that. And those are due next week. So I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
Oh my goodness. You have to share those with us.
I will.
Any ones that, you know, definitely. You feel, you know, not with a kid's name and personal information on there, you know, kind of blocked out, but we would love to see that. And I can also, you know, pick the best ones that you love and even ones that you've done. And I can put them on my website, polaroidnotes.com. Same with you, Melanie, if you have any.
I also created one about why I love Flipping Good Tech, and I'll share that with you.
Oh,
that is the sweetest thing ever. we will pay you later. The check's in the mail.
Look, Maggie's so excited she popped up too.
She is. She's like, you love my mommy. Oh my goodness. Well, Melanie, okay. Tell us about your experience with it.
So when I see Polaroid notes, what I think of, and you've talked and you've shared templates with us, but that idea of kind of taking that template and combining it with the idea of the graphic organizer, because in elementary school, that's of course one of the big things we work on introducing them to and they get really comfortable with. So in the library this year, one of my big goals is to really get even our youngest students kind of started with research. And Polaroid notes, I feel like, gives this really fun, pretty graphic way of doing that. So I've gone through and kind of taken some of our really common research topics, things like biographies, animal research, pick a historical event, and created kind of some basic templates. And for the younger kids, I've already filled in a lot of the kind of colors and stuff like that. And then with the older kids, they get a chance to be a little more expressive with that. But taking that idea of a graphic organizer and say, okay, but this is actually going to become your product. So as you fill this in, your graphic organizer, you're then able to also make it pretty and almost more like an infograph. So it's kind of taking all of those ideas together.
Melanie, I want to get back to what you said, because you mentioned, you touched on differentiation for your students, which I think is critical. So you want to elaborate on that anymore?
Sure. So I see everyone from kindergarten through fifth grade. So I have to differentiate to some extent, but I do feel it's important that all age groups start learning research. And actually, I think the younger they are when they start, the better, because they still have that like light in their eyes. And it's like, they love to look up animals. Like right now, snake books are my most popular things to get checked out. Everyone wants to learn about snakes. I'm not sure why. We all love snakes. And so while they still have that like enthusiasm of just wanting to sponge everything in, really like buying into that. So I wanted to make sure we're even with like my first grade kids who are not fluent readers, they're definitely not fluent writers, that they have kind of that outline there where I have the basic questions. So for, and I'll pop in a link in there of some of my templates. So for the animal, it'll go through and they have to just have a list. Okay, what's their habitat? And they can just write in words as bullet points. And then for what do they eat? And so it's almost like getting them into that idea of researching, but they don't have to be able to write a whole paper about it. And it looks fun. And then as they get older, it's going to look more just like where it's just kind of empty boxes or a group of questions that they get to organize around the page, however they want it to look. And then we learn things like, how do you put in the gradients? How do you do the word art and stuff like that? So they really have fun with that side of it.
So thank you for sharing those. I think it's so good for the viewers to be able to see what other people are doing with it, because now it becomes an application in the classroom that teachers are using and students are using versus someone who just does PD every single day like me, right? I'm talking to teachers all the time. You guys are sharing real world. This is how it's being used in the classroom. And I think that's the most valuable thing the viewers and listeners could get. So are you guys up for one more challenge? Just one more? Okay. And this is how we're going to end our show. Daryl loves cooking shows. So Daryl, tell us how about what we're going to do. I'll grab that link. Tell the viewers and listeners how this is going to be kind of like a cooking show, what we're about to
do. All right. So just like cooking shows, if you ever watch them in Food Network, you know, it's an hour show and you can't cook a whole turkey in an hour. You're going to see our final products of our very own spirit animal Polaroid notes.
Okay, so whenever I kind of go about Polaroid notes, I like to kind of pick my background or my color theme first and work through that. And then I kind of figure out about where I want things to live and what my big questions are going to be. So since I'm doing an owl, I want to know things like, what does it look like? What's its behavior? And like, what's its environment? So I actually am kind of cheating. I have Gale in context up in another slide so I can go and pull information real fast. And then I go through and drop in my text boxes And as I do that, I tend to try to format as I go. And so I'll have my appearance just came up, and now I'm going to work on behavior. And as I make them, if I don't like it, I just kind of move it around. I might add shapes in if I think something's not standing out enough. And then start adding in like borders and stuff. So that's my usual approach.
I like it. I like it.
I like your strategy. I like that you said you have Gale opened in another tab so that you can grab all of the content parts that you need for the what, the why, the how pieces. Mm-hmm. Like that. What about you, Sherry? What are your main strategies?
I start by picking out my color scheme for my fonts and making sure that I have those custom colors already set in the tools. And then I also try to make sure I have up in another window, anything I'm going to pull from Google Drive. I usually put images in a Google Drive folder so that I'm just pulling things over as I'm working on them. And then making sure that whatever sources I'm using, that I've got it set up very easily for me to cite those sources, either at the bottom of the Polaroid notes or embedded in the images, so that I can model that for my students. I think it's really important to show them source citing and making sure that they're doing it, even when they pull an image or anything, even if it is free use with Creative Commons. I still think that giving credit to the ownership is really important. I like if I'm doing something like this, where I'm presenting a big concept that has an image that's associated with it. I like to make that image the background of my Polaroid notes. And then pull in the who, you know, the who, the what, the how, and the why. So for tigers, I would be putting, you know, and honestly for geography, it's always the where with me. So where are they native to? What do we know about tigers in general? How are they used as iconography? So for example, on this one, I put, you know, that they're the Clemson mascot, but I would also probably make note of the fact that the reason why they're the Clemson mascot, the LSU mascot, and the Auburn mascot have to do with Frank Howard's influence at all of those universities and those histories that go together with that. So those are the types of things that would be included in a Polaroid notes that I would create about tigers.
I love that we all have different strategies for how we're doing it. I think that's really important for people to know that you don't have to do something exactly like someone else, and you just have to find what works for you. And the other thing that I want to touch on too is, like, sometimes people get really caught up in having to know everything that they're going to put on the slide at one time. And one thing I really like to let people know is they've got all this gray space over to the left and the right. Don't forget about the gray space, because if you find a picture or video or something that goes along with your particular topic and you're not really quite sure where to put it on the page, just throw it in the gray space and then come back to it later when you figure out. But the main thing is just to get those main thoughts on the page. Anything else you guys want to add to your process on how you're putting it together?
Be scared whenever you are doing something, you're like, I don't like how it looks, to go back and change it. And don't be scared to try something, because you can always undo it. That's the great thing about the world of the internet and Google Docs and all those things, is it's all changeable.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. The other thing that I like to do is make sure that, you know, you can share Polaroid notes as either an image file or as actually sharing the slide deck. So if you know you want to make sure that your audience has access to all of the information, you know, they are going to see what's in the gray space. So what didn't I include, I think, is a really great thing to use with your students, because, you know, you've got things in the gray space on the outside and then you chose not to pull it in, but it's still there for them to see. And then also the speaker notes are also still there for you to use. So if you're sharing things with students and you know you're not going to put all of it in the Polaroid notes, helping them see the selection process that you went through is also a really powerful tool.
Very good.
You hit on some of those ISTE standards right there without probably even thinking about that. But one of the national technology standards for students and even educators is to be able to choose the best tool for the purpose. And that a lot of times is not taught explicitly, right? And I think that this helps us going through that process with them, like, okay, this is why I chose that. This is why I took that out. And I think that's a really important skill for students and adults alike.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Look at these Polaroid notes that we just did here in like 3 minutes, Daryl. Can you believe how fantastic they are?
I can't believe it's not butter. I can't believe it's not Polaroid notes.
I'm curious about how you guys choose your fonts, because there's so many, right? It's like, how do you pick
I
what
know.
Fonts?
And that's what I realized, you know, when the Jamboard only had like 6 colors to choose from, they do that purpose. So you're not like, oh, what color should I pick? Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? But, you know.
Sometimes I wish the kids only had like 6 fonts, because they'll spend...
And I tell my students to focus on the content first and then go back and pretty it up with fonts and colors and things like that. You know, but like I said, with mine, I already knew, because I'm a Clemson grad, that I'm going to use a tiger. I'm going to include Clemson in, and so I'm going to use that color scheme. So I knew when I built my color scheme, I was building it all around Clemson. So I tell the students to pick one thing and build their color scheme around that. I also tell them to be really careful with their colors and their color schemes, because nothing's worse than getting a slide deck or getting a graphic and you can't read the font because the color is blending into the background colors.
Wow, these are looking really great. I'm so impressed with what you guys have done with being able to take something that I just used because I had a need at the very beginning. It was just like I needed a better way to take my notes. And I see how you're using it and how inspirational it is to me seeing how you're using it and how you're having your kids do it. And I love it so much. These are great. And I want to put these on the website as examples. Well, that's a wrap for season 3, episode 2. Daryl, can you believe it?
I can't believe it's not butter. I don't know why I said that.
I can't believe
it's just
you
the,
keep
it's the otter in me. It's the otter in me. You know, I'm summoning my inner otter.
It is the otter in you. Well, yeah, I just want to...
He's okay. Definitely otter.
Mine's everywhere. Yes, I had so much fun. And seriously, with Melanie and Sherry, these are great folks to follow on Twitter. Absolutely. If we want to follow you on Twitter, where do we go? How do we find you? What are your Twitter handles?
At T-E Miss Sova. So T-E-M-S-S-O-W-A.
All right.
I am at Miss SL North, MSSLNORTH.
All right. And be sure to follow. And we've got some Polaroid note templates and a wonderful product that Sherry created for us. Why She Loves Flipping Good Tech will be sharing those with you all too. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for being here. And thank you viewers and listeners for joining us for another episode. And we will see you next time on the Flipping
Good Side of Tech.